It's an honor to have the opportunity to preach at Father Christian's first Mass. So first, Father, thank you for this honor. The second thing that I'd like to simply acknowledge as the rector of the seminary is that I'm well aware and appreciative of the great blessing that this parish has been, in particular to Father Christian and his formation. I know that it's had an incredible impact on him. The people here have done an incredible job helping form him to be a priest. And I'd also say that I'm not sure that the seminary has ever had such a good friend as a member of the presbyterate as Monsignor King. He's very kind to the seminary. He comes over and hears confessions every week. And he actually opens his kitchen to the seminarians, Father Christian in particular, these past few years, and has allowed him to cook all kinds of things that I don't think Father King would have ever thought to eat in his life. And that is correct. So it's been a broadening of horizons, but that's how it's supposed to be. The parish, the people of God, gathered week in and week out, help form the priest that God calls out of their midst and then sends back to them to be their priest. And there's a vital role that the people of God play in shaping them. When I say that, I have in mind what the Lord commands today in this gospel, to go forth in love. And it's the people of God, you, who teach each other, including the priest, to love. But it might not be in the way that you think. So let me explain. In our reading today, the first line says, when Judas had left them, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So at the moment when Judas has left the company of the 12 at the Last Supper, it's at that moment that Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified. The betrayal is afoot. The drama is about to be entered into in a deeper way. And somehow God is glorified in the midst of that betrayal, in the midst of the drama that leads directly to the passion. And our Lord recognizes it as the moment of glorification. And then he gives the commandment to love. They're linked. I think our Lord is saying, now you will see the extent to which love will go. Now I will fulfill what I was sent for. To go to the depths of God-forsakenness. To search out the depths, really, of human depravity, human evil, human indifference, the cruelty of our fallen state. And the Lord says, now, betrayed by a friend, I'll show you the extent to which love will go to still claim, to redeem, to save. God will be glorified in this. So when I say that the people of God, as a whole, you help and teach and form each other to follow this primary commandment, to love as the Lord has loved, and you help to form us, the priest, to do the same, it's not a relationship simply of encouragement, but we become the occasion, one for the other, of how far will love go. To what extent will we allow ourselves to be stretched, pulled, tried, and suffer for and with because of the commandment of love? Our families can be trying. Our spouses can be tiring. Our children demanding. How far will love go? Now is the moment of your glorification. In that moment when the heart says, I can go no further, and the mind says, I can put up with this no longer, how far will love go? Do we call upon the grace of God and say, now in this moment, Lord, you will be glorified? Because my human capacity to live this, to live your commandment, to live your word, is absolutely limited, and I experience that limitation right now in this situation. Give me the grace to live that commandment now, to love as you love. If we have that in mind, I think you begin to understand a little bit more clearly the call of the priesthood. Why do we have priests? Why does the Lord insist that his church have priests? It is a matter of dogma for the faith that there be priests. It is a matter of teaching and discipline of the church that the priest lay down his life in toto for the faithful to follow this commandment. Yesterday at the ordination of the 9 men who were ordained for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, at a certain point in the ceremony, they prostrate themselves. They lay down before the altar. And everyone else there invokes the saints, the litany of saints. We invoke the litany of saints. We call out upon those who have gone before, not simply because they've gone before, but because the church recognizes them as those who have explicitly also laid down their lives in following this commandment of love. Out of love for God and neighbor, they have laid down their life, some in martyrdom, some in teaching, some in serving the poor, some in preaching the gospel to the furthest ends of the world, some as parents, mothers, and fathers, some as devoted children. The church recognizes all these people as saints of the church because the Lord calls them to follow this commandment, and they have done it in such a way that we can recognize and see that they have indeed heard the call and answered with their whole life. So when they prostrate themselves, those to be ordained, before the altar, they're asking the Lord, make me a sacrifice upon this altar. The same altar, Calvary, on which you were sacrificed. The same altar, Calvary, on which the extent to which love will go was shown. The same altar that day after day, you, the people of God, are called to place your offering upon this altar. With the priest who has laid down his life for you, with you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, your offering, your lives, the extent to which your love goes, is gathered up and made as an offering to God, joined with Christ's own upon the altar of the cross, and made present here again on this altar, here today, now. That's what the Lord intends for his church. That's the beauty of the priesthood. Everything about the priesthood flows from this commandment and this altar. The forgiveness of sins flows from this altar. The baptism of those who are joined to the church, infant and adult alike, flows from this altar. The confirming of one in the Spirit, the marriage of two as images of the Trinity and Christ's love for the church, the anointing of those who are soon to see God face to face, all of that flows from this altar, because it's the extent to which love will go, and that was shown to us on Calvary and made present in what the Lord feeds us with, his own life, body and blood, soul and divinity. And he has asked priests to be so conformed to him, not because of their worthiness, not because of their own inherent goodness, but simply because he has called them and said, I set you apart to die out of love, that you have no idea yet what the shape of that will be, what the ultimate cost will be, and how that will both mold and form and even crush you as you are, to go where I have gone, to follow where I lead, and to love the people I love. Today, as we celebrate this Mass of Thanksgiving together, and Father Christian for the first time celebrates the Eucharist in the midst of this community here on this altar, a community that has such a profound part to play in his formation as a priest, it is a cause to rejoice. It's also a cause to pray, to ask the Lord for the grace that he needs to be poured upon him day after day by the prayers of the faithful, so that he might live the life the Lord has called him to, and in turn, he might help us to lead the life the Lord has called us to. In our first two readings, we hear what that leads to. Paul, moving from town to town, region to region, to preach the gospel, not because the people were begging to hear it, but because they needed to hear it. They did not yet know the one who had loved them to that extent. And what we see in the second reading is that what we invite people into, what we call them to in the gospel, is not simply a betterment of the life they have here, to enjoy this life to a deeper and fuller level, but it's the new Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, that comes down from heaven, that we do not manufacture and we cannot procure on our own, and we cannot build. It's the new Jerusalem that the Lord invites us to, and that happens in and through this altar, the nuptial feast of the Lamb of God, becomes present. And we hear those words, "Blessed are those who are called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And that is us. That is you. That is the priest. That is us together, living the commandment that the Lord gives, to love as he has loved us.